1320 AM, W248DE, Wisconsin Rapids, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. We begin with President Biden's new border restrictions. They took effect this morning, giving immigration officials the right to deport massive numbers of migrants without processing their asylum claims. Republicans, like Texas Governor Greg Abbott, claim it's a purely political move less than a month before the first presidential debate.
I don't think they thought it out. They were just thinking that Biden needs to do something because the election is coming up and he's done nothing on the border. They were grasping at straws.
Polls show immigration ranks as a top issue for voters. President Biden landed in Paris this morning ahead of a ceremony to mark 80 years since Allied troops landed on the beaches of German-occupied France. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
The president will join other world leaders and deliver remarks Thursday about D-Day and the fight for democracy. While there, Biden will meet with U.S. veterans and those of other allies who took part in the invasion and helped turn the tide of World War II.
Hunter Biden's ex-wife could testify today at his criminal trial, where he's accused of lying about his drug use when he bought a gun in 2018. Correspondent Scott McFarland's covering the case in Wilmington, Delaware.
With the First Lady and Hunter Biden's wife seated behind the president's son, prosecutors and an FBI agent witness played long clips of Biden's 2021 audiobook of his memoirs, in which he narrated his descent into addiction.
Finding crack anytime, anywhere.
Former federal prosecutor Tom Dupree.
Prosecutors will tell you that there are few things more effective before a jury than being able to show the jury what the defendant said. In this case, hearing the defendant's own voice.
An attack by the entrance to the U.S. Embassy near Beirut this morning. The military says Lebanese soldiers have shot and wounded a suspect described as a Syrian national after a half-hour gunfight. Embassy officials say no staffers were injured. Tensions have been rising in southern Lebanon, where months of fighting between Hezbollah militants and Israeli troops has displaced thousands. An FDA advisory committee voted overwhelmingly against a thumbs up for the club drug MDMA to treat post-traumatic stress disorder. CBS's Alexander Tin.
While the FDA is not required to follow their expert panel's votes, it often does. That makes it less likely that Lykos could see approval by the FDA's August 11 deadline to decide on the drug, which is sometimes sold illegally as the street drug ecstasy.
For sale, the home of a boxing legend.
Hold it. Pretty.
Hold it. You're not that pretty.
I'm a bad man.
Wait.
I shook up the world.
Muhammad Ali's childhood home in Louisville, Kentucky's just hit the market. The pink two-bedroom ranch being sold along with two others for $1.5 million. S&P futures up 7. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media News. I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has filed felony charges against two attorneys and an aide of former President Donald Trump. Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman are facing charges of forgery for submitting paperwork falsely claiming Trump had won Wisconsin in the 2020 election. Call says the investigation is ongoing.
We're going to follow the facts wherever they lead. The investigation is not focused on any particular person, but on those facts and what information we can gather.
Each felony charge is punishable by up to 6 years in prison and fines up to $10,000. Chesbro, Troupas, and Roman are due in court on September 19th. A woman from Madison won the Ironman European Championship on Monday in Germany. It was 39-year-old Jackie Herring's first Ironman in 9 years. Herring is expected to race in the Ironman World Championship in September. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
The Green Bay Packers offseason work continues ahead of the 2024 season. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuska with sports. Quarterback Jordan Love says that the team is in a great spot right now as they continue their offseason workouts.
Just having everybody here right now at this time is very cool because you just build those relationships and get closer with guys and get to go out there and work and compete with them every day. So I think this team's in an awesome spot right now.
Head coach Matt LaFleur said in his press conference yesterday that there was a great energy about the team both in meetings and on the field. The Milwaukee Brewers fell in 10 innings last night to the Philadelphia Phillies, 2-1. Manager Pat Murphy says the pitching staff turned in a good game.
To shut them out for that many innings, you know, and
with those guys is pretty special. And then, Figueroa made one tough pitch and one bad pitch and good piece of hitting at the end by Castellanos. So. Really good major league hitter.
The Brewers and Phillies wrap up their three-game series this afternoon as Milwaukee tries to avoid the sweep. For Civic Media Sports, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy and windy today. Our high 77, the wind out of the west 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear 55. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, still windy with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, Todd Albaugh here. Join us next time when Pat Kreitler of Up North News Radio and our executive producer, Lukester Mathers, joins us. Be here.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right. And now, a guy who never leaves the house without wearing a cup, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome back to hour number two of Nightlight, broadcasting statewide in the beautiful state of Wisconsin, from our WGBW studios here at City Deck Landing in downtown Green Bay. A gorgeous night. Not technically summer yet, but it sure feels like it. Great to have you with me. Our question tonight is, what is your favorite Morgan Freeman movie? It is his birthday. I actually don't know if it's his birthday today. I write down kind of the birthdays for the week, but I think today is actually his birthday. What is your favorite Morgan Freeman role or movie? We had some great ones. Ben Reiser, who was just on the stream with me, said Street Smart, which I don't know if I've ever seen. So that might be something I fire up tonight when I get home. I usually do a late night movie. Christopher Reeve is in it as well. I'll check that out. Mine is Shawshank Redemption. And I remember him from The Electric Company when I was a kid. I'd watch Sesame Street, The Electric Company. And even back then, he had that cool voice. But yeah, great actor. Do you have a favorite? Conrad, did you answer that question?
I did not yet, but I would say it is in Bruce Almighty.
Bruce Almighty, nice one.
When he plays God.
He plays G-O-D, baby.
His voice is just so soothing in that movie.
Right. That's a tough role. Some big shoes to fill. Yeah. When you play God. National Cheese Day, National Hug Your Cat Day. I've said at the beginning of the show, I'm not really a cat guy, but I'm happy to listen to your cat stories. People that have cats love them, and they make good arguments. Jim texted us earlier in the show and said why he loves his cat so much. And, you know, I actually had a bearded dragon. We had a bearded dragon in our family. It only lasted about 3 years. But I could not believe I had a bearded dragon. Like, I don't know how we got talked into it. I saw this article where they were like the number one pet, the fastest growing pet. And they're phenomenal pets. And yeah, it's a lizard, and that was weird. It took some getting used to. But after a while, like, I never even thought I would want to touch a lizard. And we had this pet, and I'm putting it on my chest while I watch TV. We would play Yahtzee with the kids, and Sunny was the name. Sunny would put her, I don't know, paws, whatever, lizard hands, whatever, up on the box of Yahtzee and look into it. It was a really fun pet. I can't even believe I'm saying that. But today is National Hug Your Cat Day. It's not National Cat Day. This is different. This is National Hug Your Cat Day. A little behind on the stream here. Stacy Sue says, hi, Pete. Hi, Stacy. How are you tonight? Hope you're having a great night. And Stacy, I thought she answered the Morgan Freeman question. Blake Dufour checking in. Hello, Pete, Mr. Schwabba. Hey, Blake, how are you, buddy? Good to hear from you. And thank you for listening. Jane Mullins, old Morgan Freeman flicks, Attica was one, and Shawshank Redemption. But given he's 87, you almost have to look at which movie during X decade. That's true. I saw Attica years ago, I think when I was doing stand-up on the road. Jane A. Schroeder, I never know how to say that. Conrad, how would you say that? Jane is a friend of mine, a good friend of mine.
Schroeder?
It looks like Schroeder, but sometimes we had Tracy Schrader on the show. Yeah. I think she spells her name the same way. So, Jane, we are pals. I don't know how to say your last name. So you have to correct me. I'm sure I met when we first met 4 years ago, I was told. But she says, great to see Ben and you, Pete. Well, thanks, Jane. Great. I'm glad you're listening and watching the stream. She's watching the radio. Stacy Sue says, Shawshank. I'm with you, Stacy Sue. Love Shawshank Redemption. So many great Morgan Freeman films to choose from. But I think I am going to watch Street Smart because, like Ben said, he's a bad guy in that movie. He plays like a pimp. And I want to see Morgan Freeman playing a bad guy because he's always like this likable guy, you know. He was the one in Bruce Almighty where he was dealing with Steve Carell, right? He was like cursing him or putting the spells on him or whatever.
Oh, wait. Was
it Bruce Almighty?
Well, Steve Carell was in that movie.
He was a newscaster, though.
Yes, yes. Yeah, so, yeah,
Jim Carrey.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
But he did play Evan Almighty, where he was the main character in that one.
Correct. Another big release this week I could never get into, Get Him to the Greek. Did you like it?
You know, I did when I was younger, but I don't know. I watched it again. I was like, I probably won't watch it again.
It just seems kind of, I don't know why. I like Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I never saw it. All right. So we're going to, Brian Cox turned 77 this week. And I said earlier in the show, he is my favorite, one of my favorite actors. He's great in Succession. I like his Hannibal Lecter. And my buddy Steve Seagren and I talk about this all the time. We quote Lecter lines. It's Brian Cox and William Peterson. William Peterson plays Will Graham trying to track the Tooth Fairy killer. This movie blows the Edward Norton one out of the water. I think it was called Red Dragon. And if you haven't checked it out, I recommend it. It's from 1986. Dennis Farina, William Peterson, and Brian Cox. Brian Cox plays a very understated Hannibal Lecter. And the scenes between he and Will Graham. Will Graham goes to visit him in jail to kind of pick his brain about this killer. And he debates whether or not to show the files to Lecter, who obviously gets off on this stuff. So it's a great scene between two great actors. Let's do the first one, Conrad.
That's the same atrocious aftershave you wore in court 3 years ago.
Yeah, I keep getting it for Christmas.
Did you get my card?
I got it, thank you.
And how is Officer Stewart? The one who was first to see my basement.
Stewart's fine.
Emotional problems, I hear. Do you have any problems, Will?
No.
No. Of course you don't. I'm glad you came. My callers are mostly clinical psychologists from Cornfield University somewhere. Second raters, the lot.
Dr. Bloom showed me your article on surgical addiction in the Journal of Clinical Psychiatry.
And?
Very interesting. Even to a layman. I want you to help me, Dr. Lecter.
Yes. I thought so.
It's about Atlanta and Birmingham.
Yes?
You read about it?
In the papers. I don't tear out the articles. I wouldn't want them to think I was dwelling on anything morbid. You want to know how he's choosing them, don't you?
I thought you might have some ideas.
Why should I tell you?
You get to see the file in this case. And there's another reason.
Pray tell.
Thought you might be curious to see if you're smarter than the person I'm looking for.
Then by implication, you think you're smarter than me since you caught me.
No. I know that I'm not smarter than you.
Then how did you catch me, Will?
You had disadvantages.
What disadvantages?
You're insane.
Such a great scene. They're in this, like, white prison. It was actually shot at the Atlanta Museum of Art. And they made it look like this really contemporary prison. There's white brick. Lecter's cell is white. Brian Cox is dressed in white. And when he says that opening line to Will Graham, that's the same atrocious aftershave you wore in court 3 years ago. He's not even looking at him. That's just Lecter smelling Will Graham. And he eventually gets up in the bed and they face each other. And Michael Mann shoots it like where they have these great, this eye contact that it's just so great. It's a phenomenal scene. All right, so now Lecter has looked over the file, I believe, and they continue their little conversation.
My dear Will, if this pilgrim imagines he has a relationship with the moon, he might go outside to look at it. Have you ever seen blood in the moonlight? Well, it appears quite black. If one were nude, it would be better to have privacy for this sort of thing.
That's interesting.
No, it's not. You thought of it before.
I considered it.
You came here to look at me, to get the old scent back again, didn't you?
I want your opinion.
I don't have one right now.
Well, when you have one, I'd like to hear it.
Can I keep this?
I haven't decided yet.
I'll study them. When you get more files, I'd like to see them too. You can call me when I have to call my lawyer. They bring me a telephone. Would you like to leave me your home phone number?
No.
Do you know how you caught me, Will?
Goodbye, Dr. Lecter. You can leave messages for me at the number on the file.
You know how you caught me? The reason you caught me, Will, is you're just alike. You want the scent? Smell yourself.
He's so creepy. Whereas Anthony Hopkins approached the role so over the top, in my opinion. It wasn't even scary. But Brian Cox just underplays everything and therefore makes it more just creepy and eerie. Love the score. Michael Mann had gone through that whole scene. So great. And when Lecter, if you check out the movie, the moment where Lecter says to Will, would you like to leave me your home phone number? You know that that's all Lecter needs to track down Will Graham and his family because he's a crazy evil genius. Now, here is Brian Cox talking about the role and how he made different choices than Anthony Hopkins, more or less saying, yes, I made the right choices, even though Hopkins, I can't remember if Hopkins won an Oscar or was just nominated, but here's part of that interview, just a few seconds.
Michael was very sort of psychological and he was working it out and we played it quite English, really, and which I'd forgotten that it was so as English as it was. Not a choice made by the second actor who played the role, I have to say. Anyway.
Was there a second actor?
Oh, apparently. Yeah.
I mean, he's been given many opportunities over the years and asked about Anthony Hopkins' performance over the years many times, and he's pretty classy about it. But I think for people in the know, movie buffs, whatever, it's all subjective. You could like Anthony Hopkins better, and Anthony Hopkins is a phenomenal actor. But this week, on Brian Cox's 77th birthday, I just wanted to tip my hat to his portrayal of Hannibal Lecter. So great. We got some more texts coming in on the stream. If you want to get in on the fun, what is your favorite Morgan Freeman movie or role? He turns 87 this week. And you can text us at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC on the stream. We've got Stacey Sue says, after you were talking about God, Morgan Freeman played God in, was it Evan Almighty or Bruce?
It was Bruce Almighty.
It was Bruce, okay. It reminded me of George Burns and John Denver. Stacey Sue, I saw that movie when I was a kid. I actually really liked it. And I kind of felt good that God was like this old gentle man in George Burns. I thought it was great. As a kid, I have no idea if it holds up. And it was called, Oh God is what it was called. No, Are You There? She says, was it called Are You There, God? That's Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. That was just called Oh God. Jane Mullen says, it was so dorky, but so far out, such a hoot. I agree. Stacey Sue Johnson says, far out. LOL. Love the emojis. All right, coming up next, Bridge to Terabithia producer and writer David Patterson is going to talk about his new movie. And we'll ask him what his favorite Morgan Freeman role is, too. It's Peach Wabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, home for the Devil's Advocates.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, 3 district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy. Including classic carnival games like Skee Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of Skee Ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends? To work on your attention span? Or to win a prize, like a stuffed animal? The answer, coming up. Skee-Ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the Skee-Ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On tomorrow night's show, I have an absolutely phenomenal actor joining me. His name is Jamie McShane, and you may have seen him. He's got so many credits. He's such a great actor, and he's been in the episodic series on Netflix called Bloodline. He did a whole season on Bosch. I think he's been on both seasons of Lincoln Lawyer. He is an excellent actor, and I'm so thrilled he's going to be on the show tomorrow night. And then Anya is going to join. Anya Esther will join. She filled in for Conrad last week producing. She sent me this article that she and I need to talk about. And I need a younger person's perspective. I'm young in the sense that I'm immature, but Anya is going to explain what backrooms means. It's a new thing. So if you want more information, you'll just have to tune in. But Jamie McShane tomorrow night at 7:35. Great actor. Anya Esther at 8:35. And I attended a Bigfoot convention this past weekend in my hometown. I didn't really go for any of the speakers, but I did show up and I got a lot of the attendees, and one of the speakers talked to me. They were very gracious with their time. We talked a little bit of Bigfoot, had some good fun, and I'll play some highlights of that tomorrow night on the show, probably in the 8 o'clock hour before Anya joins us, maybe about 8:20. So that'll be fun. That's tomorrow night. Mike Clemens on Thursday, Terry Barr on Friday, and as usual, all your texts and calls. Okay. Right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He's been on the show a couple times before, but not for about 3 months. And we always have great talks. I love to hear what he's watching and working on, because he's just an excellent producer. And his name is David Patterson, and he joins us now over the stream. Hey, Dave.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you, my friend?
Good. I always got to double check, you know, since I'm older than you, does the technology work in? Can you hear me? Am I clear?
You are clear, buddy. It's you sound great. You look great because it's a stream. So a lot of people are looking at that handsome mug right now.
Oh, okay. I'm glad I'm wearing pants. I mean, I'm not going to stand, but it's good.
Well,
to know.
This is the first time I've seen you wearing pants, so thank you for that.
I've matured.
Hey, do you have a favorite Morgan Freeman film?
Oh, it has to be Shawshank Redemption, man, right? I mean,
that's what I think too, but we've heard some interesting answers tonight. Did you ever see the movie Street Smart?
Yeah, it's decent. It's okay. Decent. And how about the one with Keanu Reeves, where he's a nuclear physicist thing, and he's a good guy / bad guy?
Is that the one where they're on they have a chase scene in like a boat?
No, it's where he blows up half a city, and Morgan Freeman is supposed to be his friend, but also a bad guy, I think.
You know, I got to be honest. Not really buying Keanu Reeves as a nuclear physicist. Like, he would split the atom and go, whoa. But
I don't think the movie made a ton of money. I'm just saying that was another movie with Morgan Freeman. Look, I'm feeble. I'm reaching out my memory of Morgan Freeman films. So
do you remember him on Electric Company? Did you watch that when you were a kid?
Yeah. I'm going to say I probably learned a couple Conjunctions from Electric Company and stuff like that. So I remember that way very well.
Same. And go ahead.
Apparently he drank like a fish while he was on that show. He was pretty miserable, I understand. So, I mean, if you research that, I could be lying, but I'm pretty sure I remember him saying he was loaded for half of it because he was so miserable.
Don't you totally understand that, though? Here's this guy, a trained actor, great voice, really good actor. And he took the gig. He probably had a wife and kids, and it paid. And it was a gig, right? I mean, but he probably hated it on some level.
I have a picture as an actor on the White House, okay? So you'd think it'd be something I'd brag about. I was actually dressed as a weasel. I was doing the national tour of Wind in the Willows, and I was Sneasel the Weasel. and I'm in a full weasel regalia on the White House stairs with all these other actors, but I have a weasel head on. So
wow.
Just to tell people, yeah, I performed at the White House, you know. So there are shameful things that you want to say are impressive, but not really.
But it's a gig. I as I get older, I have none of that. Like, there are things I turned down when I was younger where I'm like, why would I do that? And like, it's just so great to work in this business, no matter what you do, every gig. And I, a stand-up comic told me that. He was an older guy. I think his name was Blake. I'm blanking on his last name, but he said, every time you do it, like even an evening at the Improv, it's a privilege for someone to say, we want you to be on TV. And I thought, that's a great, that kind of stayed with me through my entire career, you know?
Well, it is the thing about show business. You remember that old joke of the guy cleaning up the poop behind the elephant at the circus. And someone says, why are you doing this? And he goes, what, give up show business? So, you know, it's, you know, we all have our things. We all have our stuff to shovel in this business. So
did you ever see The Simpsons where Bart is working on the Krusty the Clown show and he's making him do these horrible things. And Bart says to one of the Teamsters, wow, we're really lucky to work in show business, aren't we? And the Teamster says, I wish I was dead. Krusty the Clown says, now listen to him, kid. This is a dream factory. Now go clean out my toilet. So great. You have so many. I was looking at your IMDb page. The last couple times you've come on, we talked about this film a little bit, the one we're going to talk about now. We obviously talked about Bridge to Terabithia. I love talking to you about that film. But on your IMDb page, Dave, you're part of so many different kind of eclectic projects that run the gamut of studio narrative to independent narrative, documentary. How do these projects find you, or how do you find them?
Well, you know, I tell a lot of people, you know, everyone has one or two jobs. I have either dyslexia or ADD when it comes to real employment, because I've had like 1,000 different jobs and I literally bounce from one thing to another. My wife says I like to pivot. I mean, we're still married after, you know, 30 years. So I haven't pivoted anyway with that, but I've always looked for forward progress. And, you know, in film production, you look at my IMDb page, there's plenty of things lined up that I certainly would like to be going, but it's show business and there are always hiccups and things that get in the way. So, you know, you try to move in another direction. I do documentaries, certainly not for the huge amounts of cash that just fall out of airplanes right. from them. You know, I do them because I think they're important. I think they're very important to today's world. They tell great stories, whether they're stories, you know, present or the past. And I enjoy doing documentaries for that purpose, to educate and entertain. Right. So you'll see, like you said, you'll see I'll be doing a real movie, as some people say, you know, a live action drama or whatever. But then you'll see, boom, a documentary, because that's something that actually was moving forward, or I could help move forward.
Right.
In fact, the movie we're about to talk about, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, I came aboard pretty much after it was finished. But the filmmaker really had no idea what she was doing next with it. So I said, well, let me help guide you through this process.
All right. We're going to talk about that with Dave next. His new film is A Girl Who Wore Freedom. You got to check it out. It's just a great film. And I will say, my friend, you really, everything I've seen of yours, I've enjoyed. I have you got no clunkers is what I'm saying. Dave Patterson's with me. He's hanging out with me here on Nightlight tonight. When we come back, we'll talk about his new film. In the meantime, enjoy the crack Civic Media news team and our news break. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. So did we get hitched last night? Dressed up like Elvis. Why am I wearing your class ring? Don't call your mother. Cause now we're partners in crime. Don't be a baby. Remember what you told me. Shut up and put your money where your mouth is. That's what you get for waking up in Vegas.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air. CBS News Brief. President Biden's new border restrictions went into effect overnight, and Republicans like Texas Governor Greg Abbott are pushing back.
What must be done actually is to enforce the laws that are already on the books by the United States of America. Biden says he needs more laws. He's flat out wrong about that.
Polls show immigration is a top issue for voters. The president landed in Paris this morning ahead of observances to mark 80 years since D-Day. CBS's Linda Kenyon.
Following the trip to Normandy, President Biden will head to Paris for an official state visit with French President Emmanuel Macron.
An attempted attack on a U.S. embassy overseas. Correspondent Vicky Barker is at the foreign desk.
The Lebanese army says its troops shot and wounded a Syrian national who'd opened fire on the U.S. embassy north of Beirut. The embassy says its facility and staff are safe.
The search is on for three suspected accomplices. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Two Wisconsin lawyers and a former aide to Donald Trump, who helped submit bogus paperwork claiming Trump won Wisconsin in 2020, are now charged with felony forgery. State Attorney General Josh Call filed the charges against Kenneth Chesbro, Jim Troupas, and Mike Roman on Tuesday. They're due in court on September 19th. Tuesday is Animal Rights Day. Activists are using the occasion to call attention to the poor meat production practices of popular fast food chains like Subway and Taco Bell. A new report by the group Animal Equality describes the unhealthy and inhumane conditions of factory farms used to raise livestock.
When you have this many animals in one place, you're getting really high concentrations of feces. You're having all of the environmental impacts of this. I mean, pigs produce a ton of waste. And this has to be disposed of properly to not make nearby communities sick.
While some states have banned the use of small crates for pigs, Wisconsin has not. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your hometown radio, Refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. In already a famous actor but need even more attention news, Alec Baldwin has announced that he and his wife, Hilaria, will be front and center on a new reality show with their seven kids. The controversial 67-year-old actor and his 40-year-old wife are opening their home to camera crews from TLC for some reality. The show will be called The Baldwins. Most of these reality shows are pretty scripted, but if Baldwin punches one of the cameramen, we'll know it's real. Compared to other streaming services, HBO is still a decent deal with pretty good programming. Because of that, they will raise their prices for ad-free entertainment like other platforms. Warner Brothers Discovery says they will bump the price by $1 a month to $16.99 for programming without commercials. There are a ton of other plans you can choose from on HBO, and one is more confusing than the next. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwamba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated shower or thunderstorm this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy and windy today. Our high 77, the wind out of the west 15 to 25, gusting to 30. Tonight, clear 55. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, still windy with a high of 68. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Colt. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that. You'll get 50%.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, James Ty from the Clean Lakes Alliance will join us live from Short Stack Eatery.
And we'll be talking about fundraising event Loop the Lake.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 until 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
Conrad got another welcome back from Stacy Sue. She says, welcome back, Conman. How was your trip?
It was great.
We'll get more details tomorrow night before we read our Bigfoot clips. That'll be fun. Hey, Nightlight with Pete Schwabba is sponsored by the Minocqua Brewing Company, who is making Wisconsin great again one beer at a time. Check out their webpage, minocquabrewingcompany.com, to see where you can buy progressive beer and join them for live music, poetry, and progressive politics at their new tap room at 2927 East Washington Avenue in Madison, Wisconsin. And come on out to the remote next week. More deals, more details coming out shortly on that. Right now, I'm talking with a very good friend of mine and a very talented movie producer and writer, David Patterson, whose new film, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, is out this week in theaters. Right, Dave?
Yep. It's over 100 cities, 31 states.
But not Wisconsin. What is the deal?
I don't know, man. I thought you had an in with, like, the governor or something like that. I thought it would be really easy, but Wisconsin was a tough one.
I'm sorry to hear that, buddy. I saw your post on Facebook, and I immediately became embarrassed for our state. But I said, I'm going to have them on anyway, because I know you can stream it. But where are people, what cities are you in? Because we do have listeners that are outside of Wisconsin.
Well, I know we have a bunch in Minnesota. I mean, I just got to figure it out myself where exactly it is, because, you know, it's so many places that
Let's do this. Tell us where they can find the information, just so you don't have to go to your Rolodex or whatever.
Okay, yeah, so we don't have to go crazy about it. It's The Girl Who Wore Freedom, and just if you Google that, it's going to pop up. It's really going to show you the main page. That's the picture back there. It is in 100 cities in 31 states throughout the country. What's interesting is where I got it going, a lot of places, if you have like larger chains in your area, some of the bigger chains don't want to carry it because they don't want to replace a Marvel movie or a big summer blockbuster with a documentary. I mean, who wants to go to the movie theaters to watch a documentary? and the quick backstory to this is this film debuted on the COVID film festival circuit. Means there was no film festival circuit, because for a film festival to work, you need people in a theater to watch it. And so this poor filmmaker had started in the 2020, 2021 film festival circuit, you know, 2-year run where literally everything was online. And a lot of the bigger festivals were just recycling top movies amongst each other. So even smaller docs really weren't getting a chance to get into the Sundances and the Tribecas and stuff like that. And so she really had a rough run of it. And, you know, we got some distribution, we got DVDs, stuff like that. But then in December, I said, all right, I'm going to give you a Christmas present. I said, we're going to put this in movie theaters all across the United States next year. And she said, well, the movie's dead. It came out 4 years ago. There's no way for this to happen. I said, what's your movie about? She goes, well, it's D-Day. I said, what's coming up? The 80th anniversary of D-Day. So I said, so people are going to be interested. So we need to target D-Day. And what I did, the internet is great, not just for free porn. You can actually get good stuff out of it.
No way.
And I became a detective, and I started researching all the mom and pop theater chains throughout the United States. Not the big ones, not AMC, not Regal, all of it, but the theater chains where it's like family owned, where they own like 6 theaters, but each theater has like 8 screens.
Right.
And I tracked down their email. I mean, literally became a detective to do that. I reached right out to the owners. And I said, look, it's the 80th anniversary of D-Day. I did even additional research. I said, in your town, there's 12 World War II veterans still alive. Wouldn't this be a great opportunity to honor them by showing a movie about D-Day? And perhaps we could invite them to the screening. And, you know, get local officials to be present and honor, and not just the World War II veterans, but all veterans who followed them. And I used this tag with all of these theater chains, and most of these theater chains, the people that own it are either our age or older, whose parents are veterans who were in World War II or Vietnam. And they bought into it. They said, absolutely. Mitchell Theaters is showing it, I don't know, in like 20 theaters because the guy's grandfather was in Normandy and the movie is about Normandy. So he's like, yeah, I'm putting it in all my theaters. And they know. Yeah, go ahead.
No. Please finish.
No, they know, these theaters know that they're not going to be bringing in top coin for this, right?
Yeah.
But they know that they can honor the people that come to their theaters every day. And the great tagline is they want to honor the people who made them have the ability to show whatever movie they want because of what they did 80 years ago.
Love it.
And it really has great groundswell. I got a letter from the mayor of Salt Lake City. And he did a proclamation for acknowledging June 6th as the D-Day of today and the D-Day of yesterday, acknowledging all of the veterans from D-Day that still are alive in Salt Lake City, as well as the veterans that followed in their footsteps. And they even mentioned my movie in the proclamation that we were there in Salt Lake City, you know, doing this thing. It was pretty incredible. I thought I'd get into 50 theaters, maybe. I did not think I would get into 100 cities and over 300 screens. I really didn't see that coming.
That's incredible. I want to go back to something you said about free porn. When you're you opened the door there, buddy. So I know. How do you get, but honestly, like that is a full-time job. You got this documentary, you don't have a major studio behind you and you managed to get it into 100 cities. Is that just you smiling and dialing on the phone and getting it out there and kind of wetting people's appetite for it or what?
It's even sadder than that because people don't pick up the phone anymore. Yeah. It literally was email. It was email outreach. It was email outreach. And just, you know, I don't know, maybe I can be charming with my fingers when it comes to typing emails and stuff like that. My wife doesn't think my fingers are that charming. So definitely it's about emails. It really was finding the proper verbiage to convince these people that they had to do this for their community and had to acknowledge their veterans, because this is the 80th. There are approximately 200, 225,000 World War II veterans alive now.
Still that
by
many.
The 85th,
wow.
It'll be like 20 grand left.
Oh my gosh.
And because they're dying, you know, every day.
I mean, yeah.
The average age I think is 96, 97 and it goes up to 108, 109, but in 5 years, most of those guys are going to be gone.
Where can they?
And women.
And women, right. Where can they stream it, Dave? Is it Prime?
It's on Prime. It's on Apple. Again, I should have it in front of me. I don't. It's on about 5 different platforms, but most people can get it primarily on Apple and Prime.
I just realized we're talking about this great movie you did. Give us a little bit of a summary of what the film is about, actually.
Sure. Everyone knows what D-Day is about. So they think. What most people know is that on that day and the days that followed, about 3,600 American soldiers died taking Normandy and moving into France. What they don't know is over 30,000 Normans were killed. They were just there. They were kind of in the way. They were there with the bombing. The Germans used them as shields. And, you know, so it was a mass casualty event for Normandy. Yet, if you want to find one place in the world that loves Americans more than America, it's Normandy.
Jeez.
Because we liberated them from 4 years of darkness with the Germans.
Right.
And their lives changed overnight with the German occupation. And then it changed overnight with the Americans, but changed for the rest of their lives. And so every year around Normandy, like a month leading up and a couple of weeks after, is everyone dresses up in Normandy. Everyone dresses up like Americans, not just soldiers.
Yeah, that's
but the
so
women
cool.
dress up like American women, and the men dress up like American men. They play big band music. And anytime they see an American soldier, they hug and kiss them on the cheeks and thank them for their freedom today. But thanks what they did to their grandparents, and they bring them into their homes. It's an amazing thing. And that's what you see in this movie. You see these soldiers, some who have PTSD and they're very nervous about going back. These are 95-year-old men who are nervous about going back to Normandy because of what they did there. And some of it was bombings and killing. And yet they're released by these people saying, I know you had to bomb my city, but thank you for freeing my life. And it's just a wonderful story.
What a great thing to be a part of. In the summary of your film on IMDb, it says, you're talking about the girl, tells the stories of an America that lived its values, instilling pride in a country that's in danger of becoming a relic of the past. What do you mean by that? Is it kind of what you just said about Normandy?
Yeah, well, we forget what people had to do to get us where we are today.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
We are the only animal on the planet that complains. Believe it or not, no other, you know, the cheetah doesn't complain about hard water. The deer doesn't complain about, you know, the cloudy skies. We're the only animal that bitches and moans and expects other animals of us to listen. You know, we don't appreciate what we've gone through to get where we are. And the main reason for that is no one really looks at history anymore. You know, the whole reason they say history repeats itself is because people forget it the next day.
Right.
And so what people don't understand is what, and it was, if you're talking about directly Normandy, these were 18 and 19 year old boys going to fight for a cause that they weren't even sure what the cause was, other than American good, German bad.
Yeah.
And they didn't understand what liberating meant. They didn't understand what these people who they were rescuing from the Germans were all about. And it's very important. What I'm very excited about is a lot of Boy Scout troops and Girl Scout troops even are going to screenings of this, because it's important for they see where they are today is because of what happened 80 years ago. And it's just, you know, and I'm not a big military bravado guy. I mean, I grew up in a Navy town. All my friends went to the Navy. I looked into it and they didn't have a good theater program, so I did not join the Navy. But a lot of my friends are in the military. But what I am, I am an American. I'm one of those guys. I'm an American. I work ground zero. I became a fireman after that. But, you know, we tend to forget, especially the younger crowd, what respect is. And not just respect for elders, but respect for how we got to where we are today, for people dying, working hard, suffering. And I think this movie really is a great wake up, especially for, like I said, Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, to see what happened 80 years ago that allows them to do whatever they want to do today.
That is the voice of David Patterson, writer, producer. We are talking about his film, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, which you can stream, I know for sure, on Prime and I think Apple, but if you Google it, all the information is there. And maybe you live in a city where it's actually playing in the theater and can check out these cool events that they have going on. Let's talk about that a little, Dave. You were a fireman after 9/11. You've done stunts on movies. You live outside of New York City in Manhasset, right? And you're like,
just outside the city.
You're also on the Parks Commission. And somehow
that's my health insurance. I ran for park district commissioner, you know, so it's really good health insurance. The pay sucks, but it's good health insurance. So
are you hoping to have a park named after you at some point? Patterson Park. That sounds good.
I did redesign the logo. So, you know, once I'm dead, they're still stuck with that logo for God knows how long. So I got that going for me. And
that's so great. So the movie has won awards, and it looks like you guys had a really good festival run, albeit even though it was a few years ago. Is that important, too, before you release a film into theaters, having a good festival run?
Well, the most important thing is with distributors, definitely. They want to see that it got recognized. And as I mentioned, it was a horrible festival circuit, but every festival it got into, it won Best Documentary. So I knew we had something going there. And so that's very important when you're going after distributors to say, look, it won a ton of awards because, again, that's just also them able to put it on the DVD or on the advertisement on their website that it won all of these awards. So festival recognition is important when it comes to distribution. People who go to look at it, I guess, when they look up it, people who like documentaries say, oh, it won a bunch of awards as a documentary. Yeah, that's helpful. That's helpful.
Dave, when we come back, I'm going to ask you about an atrocity with your mom's book. That's coming up next on Nightlight. David Patterson is my guest. Great to have you with me tonight. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. So when did I fall?
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this Civic Media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of Civic Media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text to Win contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. Find your station and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
From the 818, Bridget says, "Roll of Thunder, Hear My Cry." That is her favorite Morgan Freeman film. Kind of forgot about that one. She says, "Do you know it? I really don't." She says, "Check it out. Studied it in college in the 1980s. He's had a storied career." Could not agree more. That's a great one, Bridget. Thank you. My guest is David Paterson. We're talking about his award-winning film, The Girl Who Wore Freedom, which is playing now in about 100 cities. And you can stream it on Prime and Apple TV. I highly recommend it. And, you know, Dave, we got a couple more minutes. You told me recently, and I think this was after we were off the air the last time you were on the show a few months ago, your mom's book, your mom is Catherine Paterson. She wrote The Bridge to Terabithia. You wrote the film version for the studios and produced it. And we've talked about that before on the show, and I don't want to have you have to tell all those stories again, which are so great. But her book is being pulled off shelves, you told me. A Newbery Award winner, with one of the sweetest books I've ever read. It made me cry two times just from reading passages in it. What in the heck is going on? No, oh, I think you're muted, Dave. There you go. Okay, we got you.
Am I there?
Yeah, you're here.
Okay. My brother and I always thought it was kind of cool when we were younger because it made us think our mom was a badass. But she actually used to say she always was very sad when she heard it because it meant that somewhere a librarian was getting in trouble with it being banned. And it is one of the most taught books in the United States in middle schools. It's also one of the most banned books.
What reason did they give?
Well, first of all, they don't think any child should be exposed to death, right? Because that's a horrible thing, and let them find it out on their own. And deal with it on their own. But the other element is she's a young child. She questions how God works. And that's just downright blasphemy for a child to even, you know, ask how question what God would do, why God would damn someone and not damn another. The young girl doesn't think God goes around damning people. And there are religious groups that find that horrible for anyone to question that.
Boo-hoo.
It does get to the ludicrous stage where the children create an imaginary world in the woods. And so both the children worship the devil and practice witchcraft because they are worshiping the spirits of the woods and not the actual God. And then it goes even more ludicrous because the young boy, their family's so poor, he shares a room with his 5-year-old sister. There's a curtain that keeps them separated. People suggest maybe there's something with incest going on between
God's
those two
sakes.
Children because a boy and a little girl should never be in a room together. I mean, if they look for things, you know, they come up with some of the most imaginative, non-existing complaints about the book.
That makes me ashamed. You know what I mean? It's just so awful. Yeah. I mean, oh, God. Well, go ahead. No, please.
People like to censor. There's certain people that want to wrecked others' lives and think they know how to do it best.
And they love to be ticked off. And if you loved, if you go through life loving to be pissed off, you will always find something that make your feet hit the ground running in the morning, I guess. I don't know. That's really, really disturbing.
By the way, Glory, Glory, great movie.
Oh, yeah, Morgan he was Freeman in that. Glory. And Denzel Washington, too. Yeah. Great film. Yeah, great one. Have you? Are you going to see the new Bad Boys film?
You know, I may wait to streaming. You know, I don't know.
I love that it's called.
I'm at that age where I go to the movie theaters and I'm looking for who's going to be the loudest as opposed to actually enjoy it or people right. on their phones or filming it and stuff like that. I've become that grumpy old man, you know, like, can't they just keep it quiet? You know, I'm trying to watch the movie, you know? So
it's called.
I make movies. I want people to be at the movies. I just apparently don't want to go to them because someone annoys me to my left or to my right.
That's how it is oftentimes where I live too. People go, they pay the money, and it's just a place for them to hang out. It's like it's their living room.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, hey, some of us actually want to see the movie, but I'm going to pass on that one. It's called Ride or Die. I think most people would choose Die. What have you seen any of the summer blockbusters?
I actually have not seen a single one yet. I've been working so hard on launching this and convincing theaters that maybe they can move, you know, one movie to the side or another movie to the side. Just the whole idea was to shoot it, to have the film on Friday, the 5th and 6th of D-Day, and just like one or two showings so we can really bring the audiences in. And also they don't lose, you know, the latest Mad Max movie or whatever, you know, they don't lose that audience. So we try to squeeze it into matinees and then early screenings at like 5 to 6. So it doesn't steal time from the blockbusters.
Gotcha.
But I really haven't had time to look at anything other than, again, try to convince these theaters to watch, put my little documentary up against, you know, Mad Max.
Yeah. We just heard from Jane on the stream, who's watching the stream, says the movie Glory was really great cinema, and I could not agree more. Anything, we got about a minute left, Dave. Anything you could recommend to binge watch, or aside from The Girl Who Wore Freedom, of course?
You know, The Sympathizer, I've been hearing really, really good things.
Yeah, me too.
With Robert Downey Jr., he plays like 5 different roles.
Yeah.
And I'm really against, once I get to breathe after this release, I'm actually going to sit down and I'm going to binge as much of that as I can.
That's a great choice. I got to check that out too. It seems like I've been watching just about everything, but I can't, I'm watching so much TV, especially since I started doing this gig. I've fallen in love with TV again, and I can't even remember the stuff I watch. I go home every night and I watch 2 hours of TV. So we'll have to talk.
Well, that's also your age, Pete. I mean, that's my age too.
I consider that
whether we brushed our teeth the night before.
Right. So, I consider that exercise. So I'm fine with it. Hey buddy, good luck with the release. I know you had a busy week all this week except tonight, and you chose your night off to join me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, and I hope the movie crushes. Good luck with it.
Always a pleasure, Pete. Always.
You same here, buddy. We'll do it again soon. All right, that's David Paterson. The movie is The Girl Who Wore Freedom. Check it out. You can check it out on Prime, Apple, or if you're lucky enough to be in one of the cities it's playing in, go check it out there. I'd like to thank Ben Reiser for joining me and all your texts and calls as usual. So much fun when you guys are part of the show. Tomorrow night, actor Jamie McShane. Google him. He's great. You'll recognize his face. Bloodline, Bosch, Lincoln Lawyer. It's going to be a lot of fun talking to my old pal Jamie. And I'll tell you tomorrow night how Jamie and I met. It's kind of fun. And Anya Esther joins me tomorrow night. And she says, Bridge to Terabithia made me cry. Me too, Anya. It's a great book. Check it out if you haven't read it yet. Conrad.
Yeah.
You made it, man.
I did.
You did not nod off on the board. And you're a gamer.
Well, you didn't see, but yeah. I set alarms back here before breaks.
Well, you woke up when you had to. I appreciate that. Welcome back, buddy. We'll be back tomorrow night on the Civic Media Radio Network with more Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. In the meantime, good night, Wisconsin.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Up North News Radio.
Crude and Dom.
A record number of Wisconsin Democrats are running in legislative races. Devil's Advocates will tell you when and who and where. Tune in Wednesday.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Wisconsin Public Schools open doors of possibility to all students. No exceptions. I'm Peggy Wirtz Olson, a Wisconsin teacher and president of the Wisconsin Education Association Council. Public school educators and families work together to reach, teach, and inspire Wisconsin's next generation of leaders. As we head back to school, we hope you'll join us. WEAC, we teach, we inspire. Find out more at weac.org.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.